Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Mark. We are looking at Ivan Panin's idea that a person must understand Matthew before he goes on and understands, not only understand, but understand and lives in it, and it becomes part of his life and character and heart. And then we go on to Mark, and you must understand that before you go on to Luke, and you must understand Matthew, Mark, and Luke before you go on and live it, and it be part of you. Before we go on and understand the fourth gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This is Gilbert. I'm from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
We are in Mark 1:21 to 28.
And they go into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them having authority, and not as the scribes. And straightway there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And all were amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this, a new teaching? With authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And the report of him went out straightway everywhere into all the region of Galilee round about. Now, the straightaway means immediately, and you can see that word immediately is in here. So the things that we learn in Jesus and walking with Jesus, that this is going to be part of our character that comes from learning this, is that we have to be immediate in the things that we do. They're on the front of our mind, and they really are part of our fabric so much that we pay attention to be immediate whenever Jesus wants us.
Being primary on the front of your mind. You just mentioned that to me before we started this particular podcast, and I'm still mulling on that one. It's most important.
It's the most important thing in your life.
To walk with Jesus and be right there with him and do it for him, for his sake. But you're also doing it for that person. So he's teaching us to be like him, but it's not just the love of Jesus, it's the love of God's creation, which are these people that are brothers, or it's a life, it's a human life, and we're learning to love other people and love their life and give ourselves for it. Okay, now we're in Luke and we don't have to do that anymore. Or maybe we have to do it better.
These are big pieces that come in our character to learn to not be self-focused and self-serving, but to be immediate towards others.
And so, first time we see synagogue. Before it was the temple. Jesus went in and cleansed the temple. Now, what's a synagogue different than? There's some evidences of what they do in here because they teach. Jesus was in there and his teaching. But now there's something, he's bringing a different kind of teaching. What does it say about that in 22? With authority. Not as the Bible teachers. The Bible teachers maybe we're full of all kinds of emotion, you know, trying to build up people's emotions. But Jesus is teaching heavenly concepts that maybe aren't, he's not just stroking a person like making a, you know, itching a dog's ear or whatever, but he's going right into the heart. Jesus teaches to the heart.
You know, that word is the word exousia, which we get exercising. So you can listen to people that teach you information, or you can listen to people that tell you things to do. And he's becoming a doer teacher. He's showing him what he's teaching them by doing something, and they are not familiar with that.
Yep.
Apparently, the priest and people were not doing that at all. That wasn't part of it.
It says that they were astonished.
So this is something that someone hasn't seen before. And it's astonished means I haven't seen this before.
Right.
And you want to know what the synagogue is. Well, let's just say, first of all, what the synagogue isn't. It's not the temple. It's not just a few people that go in there and do this. It's not all of these things about that temple. Jesus is over here in a place where people are getting together with the scriptures, and he's teaching them about it. That's the difference. So here, it's the Sabbath, and you would think that the people are going to be over at the temple. But actually, here's the Sabbath, and Jesus is at this synagogue where people gathered, and he's teaching them. And like Dan said earlier, they saw something that they were astonished about, meaning they had never seen this before, because he was teaching them having this word exousia, all this energy, and all of these things were happening around what he was saying. He wasn't just saying something. He was doing things while he was saying things.
Exousia or exousia, also we have the authority. Like a policeman with a badge, he has the authority to do something. What's that? Arrest you, stop you for speeding. You know, to step in.
To exercise.
Exercise.
Exercising your faith. That is an interesting thing. Exercising your faith. Oh, I believe that you should do this. Well, do you do this? No. Well, then that faith is just doesn't have any strength because there's no exercising in it.
But it also made me think of he gave us authority to heal the sick too.
It's in that to turn that faith into something that you are, and today people talk about this, empowering your employees. Okay, let's forget about work a minute. Let's say giving power to the people that follow, that they can do just what you do.
Authority.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're to do it. If he says do it, we need to do it to help people out. You know what's interesting too? We're watching Jesus. And first thing he does, he gathers the disciples, and then you can see him, and the scripture will tell you, this one, it says they go into Capernaum, which is Jesus' hometown, and it tells you what day it is. It's on the Sabbath, the day of rest, and they enter into a synagogue, which is a place where you hear the Bible being taught, but you also talk about it, and you hear teachings about God. And then other places where they would leave and go into the desert, go into the mountaintop. But everything has a setting. The Bible tells you who's around him and what's going on. I'm talking to you new folks that are reading this and passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Peter casting a net, and he says, come. Come after me. Come follow me. Come after me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And you can see, you know the setting. They're leaving their job. They've done this all their lives. They really don't know that much about God because they're fishermen. They haven't gone to Bible college. And so the first four, and then their cousins, two, they come along, and for the first disciples, they are not religious. They're fishermen. They know how to deal with fish. Maybe not people so well, and the most dangerous job in the world. The most people I've read are lost in fishing, even above loggers. And maybe that's one person's statistics, but it's at the top, it's near the top.
Well, and these people's priorities changed immediately with one word from Jesus.
Yeah.
Their priorities changed.
Yeah.
What they did for a living, that wasn't 100% of their life anymore. Everybody has to work.
But they don't know yet. We haven't gotten into that they're going to actually leave their own families. They're going to be a whole different family.
Well, in the whole beginning, those two guys left their dad in that boat.
Yeah. Well, you always did what your dad did, and you just carried that on.
They left their dad
pretty much
in the boat.
Yeah.
With the other servants, and they just left.
They left their work, and they went, and you mentioned they didn't go to Bible college, but they went straight to the source to learn. Just like we need to do the very same thing.
So if this
the creator.
So if this is a pattern, when you're called to come to Jesus, he's going to fulfill all you need to know.
Yeah.
And you have to follow that way.
Yep. And I'm getting into this because we're going to see something. And so he taught as having authority, and even the unclean spirits obey him. They're under his exousia. He can act upon it, but he has the badge on, and they all obey him. And they'd never seen the light before. And the report of him went out straightway. Here's that immediately again. And it says, and it went out even into Galilee, even into not just Capernaum, but now all throughout Galilee. And we haven't heard Samaria yet. There's Jerusalem. He's not in Jerusalem. Isn't it funny? His house is in the third outer district. Isn't that?
He's not close to you know where.
Yeah, he didn't park in the temple.
He didn't.
He didn't park near the temple. He didn't park in Jerusalem.
So John the Baptist was out there way in the wilderness, and Jesus comes, okay, and he's way out there in the town.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't anywhere near either, so he matched him up that way.
Right. You want to read the next context where it's 19 through 31. And I would say this passage is really, this is a passage of Scripture. You can't say that it's a new thought. It's actually walking with Jesus. So this grouping of scriptures. Now look at this word, and I'll tell you why I think this way. Something I've learned in the Greek is the word and is the Greek word kai, and it connects scriptures together. And it connects these contexts together for a passage.
This thought plus this thought.
And it came to pass, Jesus came from Nazareth, he was baptized by John, and immediately came out of the water. The heavens were opened to him, a spirit as a dove descended upon him, and a voice came out of heavens, "You are my son, in whom I am well pleased." And then what's the very next word? And, the connective word, a conjunction that brings the thought together. This is not done. We're going to read this context by context, but the thought starts here. It came to pass. Look at the big grouping the big space that Pan has put between verse 8 and 9. Isn't that interesting? Now the next, just have a little space. This is a passage. I want to introduce that to a lot of us that have not seen that before. And the connector is and. So you can't eliminate. You can't just read 9 through 11. You have to read, because of that word and, you have to read this next one. And straightway, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness, and so on. And then the next context, 14 through 15, starts with and. It's all a passage. It's all...
So these are additive things that make a passage.
All really the complete thought. But it's dividing them into... He's allowing us to see where he is, how many people he's talking to, and what he is doing within that context. You'll see that a lot in the book of Revelation, that word kai. And Greek is not like English. It really ties him to, it's saying and plus. It's a plus. And you have to add all these together to come to the truth. After John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, and then in verse 16, passing along the sea, that adds 16 through 20 to it that we just read. 21, we just read this one, 21 through 28, and they go into Capernaum. This is still part of this same thing, and I don't see a break from and,
it keeps
even in chapter 2. It's still going on. And
he's not clear.
Even all the way in chapter 2.
He's in chapter 3.
And, wait. Even chapter and 3.
Chapter 4.
Whoa.
And chapter 5.
Each context begins with an and.
And chapter 6. Oh, my Gilbert.
Wow.
I think we have
to. Chapter 7, we're on to something here. Wait a minute.
I have not. This, you know what? This reminds me of Revelation.
It stops in verse 8.
In verse 8 of what?
Chapter 8, verse 1. That's where the
end. No way.
That's where the beginning.
That long?
It goes from 1, it goes 7 chapters with ending. That is a whole passage. Wow.
Okay. So here's the plan. Since we are in the learning, which we always are with the Lord, you know, because if you're going to walk with him along the path, I knew this and I knew about Revelation because I spent a lot of time there, but I did not know it was here too.
Well, when I started turning, I went, oh, okay, Ode to 2. And I'm like, wait a minute. It doesn't end over in 2.
So the beginning of this thought really starts in Mark 1. It came to pass in those days. Now look at what 8:1 says. Now in those days there was a great crowd and they had nothing to eat. And that is how this next one starts, just like this other passage. It came to pass in those days. I've never, ever seen that.
And then
before.
It says in those days.
Have you ever seen that before?
No, I've never seen connecting passages through 8 chapters.
Oh, no. My. That is just...
Now, the folks that are listening, this is what I would call a learning moment for us. So I'm glad you're here to hear the learning moment because this is not contrived. This is for sure. We did not know this to think this way.
I feel like a 70, almost 77-year-old. Andy, you're almost 70.
Yeah.
Dan, what are you?
Almost 65.
Wow.
All the young guys are here and they're learning.
Some combined age going on here.
Yeah.
We got a lot of years here and you go like, don't you guys know anything? Well, we didn't know this.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
This is another way to look at our foundations. Exactly what we did when we studied repentance, faith, baptism, baptisms plural, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and eternal discernment, eternal judgment, making good judgments, not condemnation, good judgments. And those are the foundation principles that is talked about in Hebrews. And this is just another way, I believe, that we're looking at the foundations because the basic idea is to change your mind, foundation principle, come and follow me, which is really faith and baptism and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead. All those are involved in come and follow me, aren't they?
And judgment.
And
making good decisions, right decisions.
Eternal judgment. They're all there. And now we're backing up and seeing how the disciples started and how he walked within the crowds and so on. So this one started, it came to pass in those days. And where are we right now? Are we verses 13? No, we're 21. Let's see, where am I?
29, maybe?
Yes.
Okay, Gil, I just read ahead. So then it's chapter 8 through chapter 14.
It's another collective
passage.
Another collective group of scriptures.
Yes.
Connected by and.
Every one of them, 8 to 14.
A group of contexts.
I have never seen this
so
before.
It may be that Mark has only 3 or 4 connected passages so in its totality.
I've been doing this 53 years. I think I own the title of the oldest, longest student that never got this until today. I never got this. I never saw this before.
Well, you were doing Revelation, and you were shown that Kai was going to tie them together, and now we're sitting here, and you go, there are these ands. How many are there? Well, I'm going, over to chapter 8, and you're like, no way.
Well, you know where you see the ands a lot is like he opens the first seal, and when the second seal, and those, and you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And they tend to hold you and make you go picture, picture, get the biggest picture. I'm assembling it for you a piece at a time.
You cannot understand those seven seals or the seven trumpets or the seven vials or bowls being poured out on the earth and connect them together, you will never start understanding them, because one of them, it looks like they're like a snowball. It's an additive thing, and the snowball is getting bigger and bigger, and more events are happening, and it's going faster. Think of a snowball going down a steeper grade, gaining weight, and look out, here it comes. So here we got this additive effect that we've been reading, even including the baptism of Jesus. And so verses 29 through 31, we're still in Mark
1. I wanted to say one more and.
Can you?
And if I looked backwards at Matthew, I wonder what I would find in the and category. And I haven't done it, but we are learning a tool here that we can use now backwards to what we just did, and we can see if that is sitting there too. How many passages or how many ands are connectors in the book of Matthew?
Well, these types of things, I was taking a class to keep my licenses up, and the teacher was a NASA scientist, and I'd read about in science that there's water everywhere in space, because a lot of these things floating around and flying through that might hit the earth might be globs of ice, or they're full of ice. And so they know now by telescopes, by these dishes that they look into outer space, looking for sounds and so on. They know what those sounds mean, and they turn that into, like, they know it's water out there and so on. So I wanted him, because he's a NASA scientist, is there water everywhere in space? He goes, yes. And my next question is, what's it like? You know, we have clouds on the earth, we have deserts. There's a difference. And he goes, he used a real scientific term. He goes, it's lumpy. And and so anyway, it's these things, and looking for Kai, looking for this type of thing, I found it to be lumpy. It's not everywhere. It's in certain places. Mm-hmm. So yeah, look in Matthew, please.
Well, look, and now John. When I'm reading, I'll look.
Oh, Andy's going to be looking
everywhere.
Look everywhere.
You give me such simple tasks.
It's just
look
like
for ands.
Just like when we found out the kingdom of the heavens is at hand.
Yeah.
We better read this next context.
We should. Okay.
Okay.
And straightway, when they were come out of the synagogue, they came to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay in a fever, and straightway they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and raised her up, and the fever left her, and she ministered to them.
You see, Jesus says, and. Yeah, I wonder if we should read it a little louder.
Yeah, because it's...
Accentuate it.
Yes.
Because it's a plus. We could almost say and or plus. How about if we say plus or and or plus?
All right, let me read it again.
Okay.
And the report of him went out straightaway to everywhere into all the region of Galilee around about. And straightaway, when they were come out of the synagogue, they came to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay in a fever, and straightaway they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and raised her up, and the fever left her, and she ministered to them.
And... We don't need to read the rest, but let's just, why don't we begin and end each one with an and, because there's more to go, so that it reminds us that there's something connected behind it.
It really does. It does that. Yeah.
It makes a difference, but now, so this is not just one story, it's all these now have to be connected. There's something going on that connects them all, and they're still in Galilee, they're still in I think they're in Capernaum, or at least in Galilee.
Well, they came out of the synagogue, and the synagogue was in Capernaum, so they're in Capernaum.
They're in the synagogue again, that same one. Okay. And here's another straightaway.
And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all the ailing and the demoniacs, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many ailing with diverse sicknesses, and cast out many demons, and he suffered not the demons to speak, because they knew him to be Christ.
They did not only treat physical, but also mental. Let's just call it mental, spiritual. You know, because the scientists and doctors don't know what to do with these people that are demoniacs. They just give them meds. They were with many diverse sicknesses and demons. He does not make a distinction between sickness and mental or demonic. He treats it all exactly. He does not put a stigma with mental. Zero stigma. Do you get a stigma from him at all?
He doesn't say that. It just says sicknesses and casting out many demons, and he doesn't dig.
Some people can become demon-possessed, let's say, in an accident, and then they get a conk on the head. They're at a real state of weakness, and some circumstance, they can become demon-possessed. Young kids, there's a difference between becoming demon-possessed at a young age because the people grow up with it and they become accustomed to it. And there's a difference once you have reached the age of accountability and you have a personality and you start messing around with drugs or demon worship or whatever, Satan worship, and you become demon-possessed, and it can run people over a cliff, so to speak. But he does not put a stigma to it at all. Some are the person's fault. Some are not. Some could be their surroundings. It could be their parents. It could be the surroundings of their family. And he takes the stigma away.
What he did back here in the synagogue that they were astonished about, it didn't take long for that information to get out, because they brought to him the ailing, all of these ailing peoples in the city. The word got out about this astonishment, and they brought him over there. And they wanted these things to be taken care of. This was a new teaching right here, that this could actually be done.
Now, the people didn't know him to be the Christ, but what does it say in verse 34?
That the demons, they knew him to be Christ.
To be the anointed one.
So it's this. So it's spirits, no, spiritual things. They knew these spiritual things about him.
They saw the badge.
The power.
The authority.
Yep.
The exousia. Now, how are we going to connect this to the next one?
And in the morning, long before day, he arose and went out and went off into a desert place and was praying there. And Simon and those who were with him followed after him, and they found him, and they say to him, "All are seeking thee." And he says to them, "Let us go elsewhere to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for to this end I came forth." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons.
So now we're seeing a pattern, and we got another end coming up. And so we got a pattern going here. We're running out of time, and we're going to keep paying attention to this "and." And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.